This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
The following contains graphic depictions of body horror. You are listening to Tales from the Guild Shadows of Paradigm. This is part 25 of our story. If you've missed the other parts, you can find them on freefm.org.nz or on your favourite podcast distributor. When we last left our heroes, they had gone into the labyrinth beneath the castle to try and find the heart of the Soul Eater, only to run straight into the Soul Eater itself. You guys rounded the corner into a large circular room that has a bunch of... You guys have gotten to crossroads before in this labyrinth where there's been like two or three branching paths. No, this junction, which is the best word you have to describe it, has eight.
Ooh.
And inside of this circular opening in the tunnel system, there is the Soul Eater with its three jointed arms, its paint white skin, tattered red dress hanging from its body. It seems to be in the middle of placing down a red crystal with a gold band around it in the middle of this junction, and you notice that there is a similar one hanging off of its hip.
Ah, that is concerning.
I don't like that at all.
And as it finishes placing it, it hears the three of you round the corner, and its head fully round on its neck. Remember, its face is upside down, so its mouth is at the top of its head and its eyes are at the bottom, and it just turns around and just goes,
oh no.
And yeah, we're gonna start this off rolling initiative.
Do you want me to roll initiative for absentee friend?
I got it.
Okay.
Well, you guys are going first. The dice I had allocated for him rolled a 16, and the dice I allocated for the Soul Eater rolled an 8.
Nice. Well, I rolled a 15.
I rolled a 19.
Hell
yeah. Definitely. If we're playing traditional initiative rules, you guys are definitely going first.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, the party has the initiative. I'll have Magnus go last.
All right.
Would you like to go first?
I'm just going to do the tried and true and blast some eldritch.
Go for it.
Oh, boy, that's not looking great. 13 and 12 to hit.
Ooh, you both miss.
Yep. That's me.
Full on blast through some of the layers of the bottom part of the poofy dress.
The screech threw me off.
Yes. I do apologize to listeners at home. If you're wearing headphones, I'm sorry. But chances are, you're not. This is a radio show, after all.
Anyway, Tanwyn, do you want to go next?
Tanwyn draws her sword. It's weirdly ornate, and it's accompanied by a shield that is also an unusually ornate shield for something that she would generally carry. But the way that she takes her stance, it almost looks like she's got her good old troll stone bashing shield on, and she's carrying her good old gigantic longsword. Mm. Even if what it looks like at the moment are fancy little pieces of shell.
Fair enough.
She does not hit. That is a natural one.
You have a second attack, however.
I do have a second attack. I will take that again from the top.
Yes.
The first one, a whiff. She's getting used to the difference between what she's holding and what she knows that she can use.
Yeah, these feel much lighter.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot better. That is a 20.
Natural or dirty?
Dirty 20.
Okay,
and I would like to add a smite to
go
this.
Go for
lead.
It.
Is this a fiend?
This is a fiend.
Okay, so I add one extra for a fiend.
And then another two. Unless, of course, you're doing a second level.
I'm doing a second level spell.
So, three.
Three.
Well, this is going to hurt.
It's going to hurt. Good. I'm glad. That is...
So a total of 5d8 plus your
eight,
strength mod.
Yep, that's 8 slashing damage.
Okay.
Plus the holy light of Artifora burns away at this awful, awful beast, doing a grand total of 21 points of radiant damage.
Sheesh.
Woo! Slicing it right across the front, and I would like to try and cut the dress from its arm as well.
Your strike slices it right across the dress, severing both the straps.
Nice.
And it's body underneath is an odd combination of pudgy putty and emaciated flesh.
Gross.
You can see its ribs, but its belly looks like it is a mismatched, malformed bundle of lumps.
Ew. That's
I'm not sure what's worse, this thing or the troll zombies.
I like awful monsters.
Yeah.
I like what I like. Doing anything else?
No, I'm all done for now.
Okay, Magnus is going to cast...
Hunter's Mark?
Yes, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Hunter's Mark, and...
I vaguely remember his abilities.
Yes. Run up and reckless attack on this thing.
Yeah!
First one is a miss. The second one is also a miss. I'm going to keep rolling like this, nobody's getting hit. Both you and them.
At least 10 when hit.
Ten when hit once. And hit hard.
So, it's now its turn.
Yes.
How screwed are we?
Pretty, as it is going to open its mouth and dump out sickly purple gas again as it uses its breath of hopelessness.
Damn it.
Oh, boy.
And I need everybody to make me charisma saves. Magnus fails.
Oh. Tanwyn fails.
Unnatural 20.
Sheesh.
Oh, that's what I should have done. Yeah.
I wasn't going to play your character, but I remembered that ability.
Yeah. It's a full action, though.
So, this is 41 points of necrotic damage.
And did I pass or fail?
You passed.
I'm down.
So that's 20 for me.
Yes.
Oh, boy. All right, I'm going to...
Yeah, it rolled nearly max damage.
Yeah, I'm down.
All right, I'm going to have to...
Terrifying. It sees one of the three of you drop and takes the opportunity to book it.
It's running away?
Hellish Rebuke.
Oh, yeah, you go for it.
I need it to make a dexterity saving throw.
Yeah, I'm going to keep rolling like hot on the d20s tonight.
Good.
18 points of fire damage.
Awful. As it releases this breath... Fire catches off of you and runs up this gas cloud and explodes into its mouth.
Nice.
For whatever reason, this fiend does not seem to be resistant or immune to fire damage.
Good to know.
And yeah, it takes the opportunity to run.
Awesome. All right. We're going to be chasing after it.
Well, but first I'm going to dump some D6s into my friend because I don't want to leave her behind.
Thank you.
Magnus is also on 4 hit points.
So you get 7 hit points back.
Thank you.
And I'll dump another 2 into Magnus. And he can take 8 points of healing.
Nice.
I would like to take 2 actions, so 6 seconds, to drink both of my lesser healing potions.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm up to around about half. Just a little over half.
Nice.
And if Magnus has any healing potions.
I'm just checking his equipment list. I believe he does. Yes, he has a regular and a greater, so he's going to take both of those. No, he's just going to take the greater.
Yeah, wow.
That puts him up to on 4d12, it rolled a 12, 2 11s, and a 7.
Ouch. Ouch.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, that average damage is 26. And I was like, oh, that's fine for the party.
Yeah.
Maybe not when I roll that high.
Yeah, so I know we're going to be about a round behind, but
we are giving pretty hasty chase.
Yeah, you guys lose it.
So it put down 2 things, right?
I put down 1. It's a red crystal half buried into the ground or up to like this gold ring around it.
Do you think it's coming back for that?
Possibly. Do I know what this is?
Give me an arcana check.
Could I do an arcana check too?
You may.
Oh boy.
I've got no idea.
What does a 14 tell me, if anything?
It's a keystone. Basically, these are connected to other stones. Basically, you have a pair of stones with the same frequency or attunement or whatever you want to call it. And as long as one exists, the other can't move, essentially, once they're active.
Okay.
Basically, they are often used to magically lock doors that you don't really want open or various other things.
Okay. So is this the key or the lock?
This is the key.
Interesting.
Yes, they are a pair of red and blue.
Okay.
So the red one is the key, the blue one is the lock. Can we pull it out of the ground?
Yeah, but until you destroy it or deactivate it, blue one is...
Still locked.
Still locked.
Tanwyn turns the keystone over in her hands as she listens to Amadeus explain what it is. And she says, oh, do you think it was trying to keep us away from something? Or do you think it was trying
We need to destroy its heart. So one assumes that it was trying to walk away the one thing that, if destroyed, will kill it.
Well, that makes sense. I was going to go say, well, maybe this is a secret family thing from the... No, never mind.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense. It makes more sense narratively. I keep forgetting the room like a storyline. so, I understand. Okay.
Are you okay then? Well, you're not okay because you just got swept around.
I'm not okay. I was dead for a moment, I think. All dark, and there were some stars.
Yes.
How do we break it then?
Before we continue, can I get Tanwyn to make me a wisdom saving throw?
Absolutely, okay. That is a 90!
Cool, nothing happens.
Woo!
Excellent. So, how do we destroy this thing? Just whack it and shatter, or do we have to magic some fools?
I mean, dispel magic is the easiest solution. Hitting it hard enough can destroy it, but it will take some time because it is magically reinforced. Lava will also do it.
Where's Keston's fall when you need it?
Basically, you either need sufficient force or sufficient heat. It can be physically broken. It is just hard to do.
Okay, so, we don't have access to all of our items.
No, but you do have access to a very, very tall tower that you can throw it off of, if potentially.
My idea was, I have what's called here a trollstone tool, which I believe you said was for chipping out trollstone. And I was like, what if I put it in there and then smashed it with a sledgehammer? Would that work? But I don't have access to it, so
Give me a charisma ability check and add your proficiency bonus if you want to try and add this item to the store.
Yeah, absolutely I would like to do that. I would love to do that. That is a 16.
The Lady Knight's most prized possession is her trollstone chisel.
Yes! Oh my gosh, this is awesome. Yeah, I'm going to reach into my pocket and I'm going to pull out my trollstone tool. I'm going to say, I didn't even know I had this. I thought it was not part of the story, trollstone. Anyway. This is great news. I'm going to try and wedge it into a crack or basset in the...
Basically, anywhere you can find purchase.
Yes. Into the key.
Uh-huh.
And I am going to mash it with my sledgehammer.
Yeah. So, mechanic, if you were to try and break it, you would need something equivalent to adamantine.
Yes.
Trollstone is equivalent to adamantine.
Yay!
Yes!
Either that or you that toss it essentially from and get it to reach terminal velocity.
My hoarding tendencies are paying off. Now I just need to wait for when my chain and manacles and fishing kit come in handy.
I will still need you to make me an athletics check, however.
Absolutely. That's an 18.
Nice. Yeah, you wedge it in to this small gap between the ring and the crystal itself and just full railroad worker pile drive this spike into the crystal and utterly shatter it.
I don't suppose anything from the story is going to make it out into the real world, but just in case, I am going to pocket a piece of this.
Sure, love it.
I put a bit of the crystal in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Do we hear any kind of like screeching or screaming or any like, oh no, my door, coming from deeper down into the labyrinth?
No. However, I just realized that Magnus has Hunter's Mark on.
He sure does.
So for the next, I will say 30 seconds at this point, he will have advantage to track.
So.
The Soul Leader.
Magnus, find that fool!
Magnus, go!
Go, Magnus Ranger!
And this is a survival check, so he gets to add a d4 to this.
Nice.
Survival with advantage, nat 1 and an 18, plus 3 from the dice, so 21, plus 6 from his modifier.
I think that this is why he has such a high wisdom.
Yes.
Because survival is a wisdom-based skill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, total of 27.
Wow! Great!
It is faster than you guys, as it has a 60-foot fly speed.
Yeah.
Dang!
That's significantly faster.
But you are able to essentially follow its trail. By the time the spell fades, you guys have arrived at another junction where you see the second keystone, basically driven as far as the Soul Eater can get it into the ground.
Right.
Alright.
This would unlock a different lock crystal?
Yeah, a different lock stone.
Okay. I'm going to try it again. I'm going to pull out my hammer and chisel and...
Go for it.
Try to get another one broken. Can't do it. I will pick it up and we'll move forward with it. And I'll keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to get that one. It's a little bit harder to find purchase. There's not a clear good space to put the chisel. And I rolled a 15 total.
That is still enough to break it.
Hey!
As 15 is the DC.
Nice!
Specifically with adamantine tools, it's like 25 without.
It's a little bit harder. She doesn't make a cleaner hit. She's a little bit like, ah. I mean, I know I broke it, but I could have done a lot better.
Mm.
But, yeah. Well, where do we go from here? How many tunnels is there?
There are two off of here. And if you want, you can give me a perception check.
I would love to give you a perception check. I'm very good at those.
I am not very... I cast guidance on you to help you out.
Oh!
And then I also cast guidance on Magnus so that he may also perceive. Because guidance is a cantrip.
It sure is.
Well, guidance ain't going to help Magnus as you rolled a 2.
And I rolled, all up, including guidance, a 21.
21. You've surmised that you are starting to get a fair way into this labyrinth. And off to the right, you hear the sound of waves breaking.
I think that's the exit. It smells like the ocean down there.
Smells like, yeah. Let's go to the thing and...
I think... Should we head towards the exit or should we head deep into the labyrinth?
When Tanwyn destroyed the second keystone, did we hear anything unlock or open or...
I will say with a 21, you heard very faintly on the wind that's blowing up from the right, like the sound of glass shattering, but in that arcane way when a spell gets...
Right.
Well, dispelled.
Right. Okay, yeah.
You heard it, so we're following Tenwin's lead on this one.
Tenwin will lead her party towards the ocean.
Cool. After 30 seconds, you round a corner and there's light coming down from the end of the tunnel and you guys...
Not bad.
After a couple of minutes, get to a hidden pier.
Is it the same one that Magnus...
Yes, it is. There is a little dinghy attached to the pier and in the wall, there are 3 lockstones. Each one situated in an arcane circle, in the center of which is a glass display case with a heart carved from obsidian with this faint red pulse going through it. Though it is unusual that this glass box is somehow magnetized to the wall.
So I'm assuming one of these keystones is currently active?
Mm-hmm. The outermost one is.
There's always 3.
Always 3.
That's really illustrating that is. Must still have it somewhere. And there's no way to get past this without the key.
Nope.
Well, at least we know where we are.
We know where it is, it's just...
I guess we just have to go
back. Yeah, the entire time there's the red string that you guys have been pulling along.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess we go back the way we came and look for the keystone and hope it doesn't ambush us on the way. Irritating, that is. All right, well...
Would I know that whether or not I can use knock?
Whilst this is technically a lock, knock does not work on this.
Or any object that contains a mundane or magical means that prevents access.
Ah.
You can... How many spells do you have as a warlock? 2.
This will be 1?
Yes.
So I will have...
You only have 1 spell left. I don't know, I feel like this is a good use of
I think so too. So, thoughts, Jim?
This you is can most certainly try.
Look, if it fails, fair enough. But I will, you know, walk up, because it says verbal component, but from Amadeus, his thing is he walks up and will actually be like, open up, and he'll literally knock against whatever he's trying to open.
Yeah, there is just this, weirdly enough, creaking sound of something on super rusty hinges opening as you temporarily suppress the effect.
We have 10 minutes.
I'm going to rush in and just try to smash the whole structure. The glass, the obsidian heart. Just
make me an attack roll.
Just smash the ding-dang thing.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was so nearly a nat 20. That's a 12 to hit?
To hit a glass case?
Yeah.
That is enough to hit it.
Okay, and my damage, straight damage?
Mm-hmm.
That is... Woo! 12.
It had a hardness of 5. So for those listening and the players that don't know, objects have hardness scale. And to deal damage to them, you have to overcome that.
Yes,
a 12 is enough to shatter it. And the heart falls to the ground with... It is an odd combination of a squishy thud and a stone on stone thud.
Ew, pretty gross, that one.
Yeah.
Is it still pulsing? Like, mm-hmm. Red pulsing? Okay. I'm going to pick it up.
Okay.
And bring it out of the circle before the circle can lock itself again. Because I don't want to be locked in there with it.
Yeah,
I'm going to pick it up. Yeah, cool. It's probably fine.
You've picked it up.
I've picked it up. I take it outside the circle. I put it back down on the ground and I say, hit it!
To Magnus.
To everyone.
I'm not even going near it. Eldritch Blast.
Okay.
Do I need to roll to hit this?
Will Eldritch Blast work because it's not your creature?
I don't care. You can shoot it at objects.
Okay.
I'm not that much of a hard ass.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It is a part of a creature, technically.
You know what? You're right.
14 and 24.
They both hit. The heart doesn't have the AC of the Soul Eater.
14. Oh, so one was 9, one was
5. Plus so 10.
Plus 10, so
24.
24 total.
Yeah.
And then Magnus, it's still in one. If it still exists, then Magnus would like to take a few swings at him.
Yeah, Magnus will do so, and it's technically a prone creature, so he has advantage on it. The first one was a crit.
Nice.
Oh boy.
Second is a hit.
Nice.
And the third is a hit.
Nice!
As he hits it twice with the flail, once with axe.
His character's rolling really well. Scott will be really pleased about this.
Thank you, GM, for rolling so well on Scott's behalf.
I thought you were meaning that Scott would be missing these attack rolls.
No!
So this plus
Scott,
9.
If you're listening, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to imply that you rolled bad.
As Magnus
Wales
lands his strikes in, before Tanwyn can make her attacks, the Soul Eater arrives having felt its heart being attacked.
Oh,
as it just flies in on these weird sugar glider-style wings.
Very fleshy, this creature of yours.
Yes, and it is going to land on Magnus, knocking him prone, and will make two claw attacks against him before initiative starts.
Oh, no. Okay.
One is a miss. The other is a crit.
Oh, oh Magnus! Oh, dear!
So it is 2d8 plus 46 plus 4.
Oh.
Interesting. Magnus takes a total of 31 points of damage.
Oh, is he down again?
No, wow. Because of those temporary hit points that you remembered him having.
Oh, thank Artifora.
Thank Artifora indeed.
And we get initiative rolling again.
Tanwyn rolled a 14.
Magnus rolled 10. It rolled less than that.
Okay.
I rolled a 19, so we're definitely going first.
Yeah, you guys are going first. And as combat begins, things start to become poignantly dramatic as a storm kicks up outside.
Cool.
And the ground begins to shake a little.
Cool.
And the sea begins to toss.
Far out, this is going to be funky.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's about to get funky. Can I go first?
You may.
I am going to be smart and not dumb.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to cast Watcher's Will as an action. Choose a number of creatures within 30 feet. That is Magnus, Amadeus, and myself. For 1 minute, we have advantage on intelligence, wisdom, and charisma saving throws.
Nice.
Excellent.
I would also like to use my bonus action to cast the spell Compelled Duel.
Oh boy.
So I would like to try and compel the Soul Eater into a duel with myself. Could you make a wisdom saving throw, please?
I believe an 18 succeeds.
Yes, it does.
As you do it, its head, which was screaming in Magnus's face before as it started shoving its fingers into his abdomen, trying to pull out bits of him, its head just turns to Tanwyn. Tanwyn, 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 no.
Oh. Oh, I don't like that you know my name, actually.
Oh, but it's such a good name.
This is a good name, thank you.
I'll have to take it.
Oh, no. Oh, I've heard stories about things like this. Oh, I'd also like to use my movement to get right up next to it.
Okay.
Making sure that Magnus is within 5 feet of me.
Cool.
Cool.
So, I would like to Eldritch Blast.
Uh-huh.
One directed at the Soul Eater, one directed at her heart.
Ooh.
Oh.
Go for it.
So, 25 versus the Soul Eater.
That hits.
And 19 versus the Heart.
That also hits.
Fantastic.
Because I have two. Mm-hmm. And so that's 14 on both.
Hot damn.
Wow. Good hit.
So 14 to the Soul Eater. As you, looks like somebody just shoved their finger into a pot of molding clay.
How is the story interpreting? Because usually Amadeus's Eldritch Blast are like balls of words.
It still looks like balls of words, just in a different language.
Okay, it's just sweet.
And then your other one, which this is force damage, correct?
Yes,
it is.
Yeah, and so Obsidian Heart does not resist force damage. So full damage to the heart.
And as a bonus action, I'm going to pump my last D6 of healing into Magnus.
Go for it.
5 more points of healing.
Is it your level or is it level plus one that you have?
One plus level. Because I've pumped 2 previously into both of them.
Yes.
So that's 4.
Yes.
And this is my last one.
Yes.
You're a level 5, so...
I'll pump one more into Magnus. 6.
Okay.
So 6 total.
Useful.
Because it's not much, but...
It's honest work.
No, it's good.
Yes. And that's my turn.
Magnus is going to rage.
Good.
Yeah. Do the spirits appear?
They do, but they look, rather than spirits in attire from various time periods of Ishigar's history, is, you guys have seen the guards from around here. It looks like just soldiers from this area.
Interesting.
Hmm.
And you notice 2 or 3 of them have grabbed hold of the Soul Eater and are starting to attempt to pull it off. And Magnus is going to use that moment to slip out from underneath the Soul Eater and get up and make 2 attacks against it.
Yes.
At advantage. Because
yes.
He's a barbarian, and that's what he does.
Hit recklessly.
One will hit just, and the other one will hit more than just.
Yay!
Sheesh. That's 10 bludgeoning and 4 lightning, and then 9 bludgeoning and 1 lightning. So 5 lightning and 19 bludgeoning. So 24 damage.
Wow.
That's an honest day's work. Now let's see if it's an honest day's wage against this thing.
Yes, as it will scoot around. Actually, before the Soul Eater's turn, we've got environment actions happening.
Oh, boy!
As a massive wave washes up into the opening of this cave, and I need everybody to make me strength save.
Oh.
Including the Soul Eater.
Oh.
Magnus is fine. And the Soul Eater rolled a nat 20, so.
What do we need to pass?
13.
I rolled a 16.
I fail with a 5.
Oh no!
Amadeus. Yeah. How good of a swimmer is Amadeus?
Not.
Didn't think so.
Yeah, that's right. So, Amadeus, for the first time in a long time, you're in the ocean. As the wave crashes up and just as it washes back, drags you in off of pier into water below.
I know what I'm doing next, Todd.
Trying not to drown.
Drowning.
No, casting a spell.
Fair enough.
Good.
You're listening to Tales from the Guild, Shadows of Paradigm. But this does put you out of the range of the Breath of Hopelessness.
Phew.
As Magnus and Tamman need to make me charisma saves.
And don't forget, you have advantage.
Yeah, Magnus makes that.
22.
Magnus got a 16. The DC was 14.
Okay. It's good to know.
So way less damage now. Yeah, the dice reflect that. A 1, a 2, a 5, and a 7.
Wonderful.
Where was this on the time that they failed to save?
Really hit me hard.
So 3, 10, 15, halved to 7.
7. Fantastic.
33.
What wonderful damage rolls.
And does Magnus take half of that because he's raging?
No, this is necrotic damage.
Ah.
It is, however, because it knows the name of Magnus and the name of Tanwyn, get to make a free attack against both of them at advantage.
Mm. Can I use my reaction to impose disadvantage on its attack against Magnus?
Yes, you can.
Which means it will just be a straight roll.
Yeah, it will be a straight roll against both of you because he applies disadvantage.
Yay!
Trying to attack rolls against anyone but him. So what's Tanwyn's AC?
Tanwyn's AC is a 19.
That is a 19, so that hits. You do have the ability to cast shield. Oh no, you just used your reaction to apply
just
to.
My reaction, yeah.
And then against Magnus, that will also hit.
Damn. We gave it a good shot. We said, no, don't hit.
Well, you stopped him from potentially critting the both of you.
That's true.
Magnus's death ward activates as he is now at 1 HP after taking 14 points damage, one more than he had.
Oh my gosh.
And Tanwyn, you take... Yeesh.
Not yeesh.
21 points of damage.
Yeesh. Okay.
Is that its turn?
Yes.
Thank God.
Do you mind if I go first?
Go first.
To get my... I cast Misty Step.
Fair enough.
So...
That puts you up on land again.
Yeah, anywhere within 9 meters. which I'm assuming I didn't get that far out to say.
No, you're literally just washed off the... If you had the strength to, you could potentially, on a swell, just used it to get back up onto the pier.
I don't have the strength.
No.
So yeah, I appear a reasonable distance into the cave.
Yeah, further away from the edge.
That's my turn, because that's...
That's a bonus action.
Oh.
Yeah.
Eldritch Blast again.
Go for it.
One at the Soul Eater, one at the Hurt.
Yep.
That is a 22 versus the Soul Eater.
And that hits.
And a 15 versus the Hurt.
That just hits.
Ooh.
Whether it's by an inch or by a mile.
Yep.
A hit's a hit.
14 versus the Soul Eater and 7 versus the Hurt. Force damage both times. It's like, you're not getting rid of me that easy!
Wow, he is full of adrenaline.
I am not dying today! Not in a book!
The first Eldritch Blast blows the freaky head off of the Soul Eater as the second one shatters the obsidian heart.
Oh my god, double kill!
Not today!
It had 21 hit points left, and you did exactly 21 points of damage. I think this is Amadeus's first kill. No, it's not, but it is a big kill.
I mean, this is a huge kill.
This is his first BBEG kill.
Yeah.
It's like, not today.
Wow.
That's, oh gods.
You might have swallowed some seawater. Just put your head between your knees for a moment. I'm just going to go and get Magna.
As you do that, the world around you starts to drip. As it looks like the world all of a sudden is an ink painting that has had water poured on it, as all the colours start to run.
Ooh. Wait, hold on to my hand. Hold on to my hand. Come over here.
I grabbed Magnus with one hand and then I grabbed Tanwyn with the other.
And then Tanwyn is holding on to Amadeus's hand and she's also got one hand on Magnus's shoulder as he lies there.
As the colours drain away to reveal parchment. And all of a sudden, things feel flat. And then you feel weirdly compressed. Like, space around you is folded and flat around. Imagine what it would feel like to be stuck, be Han Solo stuck in carbide. And you push and you resist. And there is the sound of paper tearing as you are ejected back out into real space.
Oh.
I will need the three of you to make me wisdom saves. Tanwyn at disadvantage.
What? Is it still within the minute?
Yes, so just be straight
roll. Wisdom saves, you said?
Yes.
12.
I did exactly one better, 13.
Well, the DC was 13.
Oh.
So, Tanwyn, congrats. You have gained a long-term madness.
Oh, no.
You believe the world you're in is a story.
Oh, that's a good one for her, and it won't have any bad consequences later.
You believe you never really escaped that book.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Right, so that was a...
Actually, question.
Yes.
Is a madness a disease?
No.
Okay. Because if it was, I'm a paladin. I wouldn't have been able to
offend you. Paladins don't get to escape madness.
They are the madness. dear, sweet, merciful artifact. What the hell was that?
I've got to heal Magnus. I'm going to flip him over.
He's fine.
What just happened?
His fingers are back as well. The two fingers that had disappeared.
Huh.
He looks at, what, full health?
Yeah.
That's okay. Looking around the room, same point, storage, right?
Yeah, and there's a dwarf with you.
Oh!
As Marth Greystone got ejected out with you.
Marth! Good to see you.
What's this?
You're free. We're back in the real world. We're in Sturge.
Yes. The face that he has, he's still not believing that this is real, but he's like, puts his arms up in celebration. Yay.
You are no longer king. You get to go back to whatever the hell it is you normally do.
I think I'm going to retire.
That is a great plan. I wish I could join you.
What a good plot line. Retirement.
It's reality, but sure. Okay, so you go and retire. We have to go make a report to some people because that was shenanigans on an annoying scale. The book that thwacked me over the head and started this whole thing. Where is it?
Oh, yeah, it's right there.
Mage Hand,
mm-hmm.
Pick up the book and take it with me without touching the damn book because I don't know if that Soul Eater is still in there and I am not touching that book again.
Amadeus.
Yes.
Now that Marth is gone.
Yes.
He's very quick to leave this room. I know you probably...
You're like, for a 4-foot tall guy with...
He boosted off.
Yes.
He's rather sprightly for a man his age.
So, you probably didn't want to scare him or anything, but what do you think this really is? Like the next chapter or something?
What do you mean the next chapter?
Like the next chapter of the book.
What do you... We just got out of the book.
No.
We are back in the real... This is reality, Tanwyn.
No, I don't think so. It couldn't have been that easy.
It was. You called... You saw what happened to Magnus. He almost died. If it wasn't for a fictional pope, he probably would have.
No, but sometime when you start a new chapter of the book, everybody...
What do you keep talking... This isn't a book, Tanwyn. We are back in reality. This is the...
I'm getting a little bit concerned about your mental health.
Now you're getting concerned about my mental health. Okay.
Says the insane one.
because in the last chapter you were getting really into politics.
Because I was trying to go along with the story to figure out what we could do to get out of the story.
And now you seem to think that this is... We're
not in the book. Anymore. The book is right there and we are no longer in it.
Okay.
We are freed from fiction. Thank Artafora.
You know, that's probably a good person to talk to about all this.
Sure.
I think I'd like to maybe talk to someone else because I don't...
Sure, well, I need to go take this book to whoever's in charge of storage and get and have some very strong words with them about their methodology. So I'm going to drag my compatriots along as I find whoever's in charge of storage, using Mage Hand to bring the book along with me.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to have a look at what it's called?
Yes, what is it called?
The Tiger Shark Show.
I show the title to Tanwyn.
Well, obviously we're not in that chapter anymore.
What? That's a book. You've seen books before, I assume, Tanwyn.
Well, maybe we're in the sequel. You know, like you have one book and then you read the second one. It's a sequel. Maybe this is the sequel.
We're not in a book anymore, Tanwyn. I don't know how I can convince you that we're not in a book.
Okay.
We are not in a book.
Okay, you're kind of scaring me. So I think that when we do find the next Soul Eater that is controlling this.
Sure. When we find the next Soul Eater, we can have words with them about their choice of genre.
Aye, because it's really affecting you more than the last one even.
Stir the pot.
This one's really realistic for you and I'm kind of worried about it.
We're having this conversation as I'm going to find whoever's in charge of storage.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember the name that I gave the character, but...
It's the lady at the front desk, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the old, like, Mike Wazowski type lady.
I will use my mage hand to place the book on the desk.
Yes, what's this?
This is a book that had a soul eater in it. That just tried to eat myself and my compatriots and Marth.
You know, it's fine because this isn't real, but you really need to stop telling people about the dweller. It's good practice.
I didn't say anything about the dwellers.
You did. You just said a soul eater.
Soul eaters
are... That's a dweller.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It's from a different plane.
She technically isn't wrong.
It's from a different plane. I know that you think that the fiends aren't, because you keep talking about them with the common folk, but they are, and it's why I can hit them so good.
What?
It's okay, though, because this is a book, but this is a good time to practice, to not tell people about the dwellers. I do apologize,
it's not,
man. When you're not real anymore, you'll forget all about this.
So... It tried to eat us. The hell?
Well, I don't know.
Do you know who brought this book in?
No.
Great.
Do you have any records of who brings the books in? I suppose you do. You also have hundreds and hundreds of years of books, so I don't really know if it would be worth it to search through. Do you have any kind of spells that would do that kind of thing? Sometimes... When you really need a plot point to happen, it just kind of happens for you. So I'm hoping that this is what's going to happen.
Making me regret giving her this mess.
Didn't take you very long. No. Where do we go to find the record of who brought this in? Because if they're still alive, I would like to have words.
Well, presumably they came in with all the other stuff from intake.
All right, so I'm going to have to go have words with intake. Fine.
I think we're mostly in Tanwyn's just kind of casually saying this to Magnus as we trail behind. Armadeus taking us to intake. He says, I think that maybe the Soul Eater really got into Armadeus' memories because this is pretty accurate to what I remember. And it's got all of the, you know, bureaucratic that he loves to deal with. So he's probably having quite a nice time in this chapter.
Yeah, probably. Sorry, I've got to. Magnus would most certainly egg on Tanwyn.
Yes, he would. I hate that's true. Finding intake, and I'm going through the records to find out the heck?
Give me an investigation check. They just let you in because A, you're former intake, and B, you've now got the authority to do so.
16.
Yeah, you don't find it.
Well, that's annoying. Okay.
While this is happening, I would like to talk to one of the employees and say, so while we're here, do you have any kind of, protocol for when the books in the library affect people? You know, because some kind of like fail safe or someone comes out gibbering madness. Who do you call to fix it?
I suppose that would be the caretaker.
Oh, I suppose he cleans up all of the messes, including the magical one.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I might... No, don't say anything to him, but I think I might need to take Armadeus to see the caretaker. Do you know where he is at the moment?
Well, probably cleaning out the stables. That's usually what he's doing at this time of day.
Okay, that's a good place to start. Thank you.
So,
Armadeus!
Yes?
I believe I have a sudden urge to visit the stables.
Why?
I think that the next part of the story might be there.
What story?
I think that there might be an important plot point to be found there, and I think that it would really help you in particular go and see it.
What?
I'm getting better at this book thing.
We're not in the book!
Okay, and I know that you believe that. And I know that that's very important for you to believe. So, if we're not in the book,
okay,
then we should go to the stables anyway.
Why?
Because we need to check on our dragon. It wasn't.
You're not letting this go, are you?
No.
If it'll make you happy, we will go to the stables.
Okay, that sounds like a wonderful plan.
Okay, so we go to the stables.
Yeah, Tanwyn is feeling it. She's feeling good. She's having a great time. She's snapping at people as they go past.
You're getting all of the weird looks.
She grabs an apple to eat, but then she flicks a full gold coin at the vendor. Like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I'll get it back. Don't worry about it. She's eating the apple. Sure. She's having a great time. She's pretty enjoying herself now. She's 100% certain that this isn't real, but also the thing that created it, she knows that we can take it, so she's not worried about it. I'd like to head towards the stables.
Yeah.
Just greeting everybody on the way. Then you all look really good, really, really normal. Obviously,
that's because they are normal.
Yeah, and that's what I think. I think that this one is more sophisticated and it doesn't need to make up like...
This is reality, Tanwyn.
I know it is. But it doesn't need to make up, you know, blue stripy people anymore. It knows what elves look like normal.
You guys have wandered into the landing area / stables area. As you're saying this to Amadeus, Wilhelm Greek, the caretaker, just appears behind Amadeus. It's just like, what in paradigm is she talking about?
Just the man I wanted to see. It's lovely to see you Wilhelm, if that really is your name.
We got swallowed by a book while in storage.
Uh-huh.
She thinks we're still in the book.
He thinks we're not in the book anymore.
He just looks between the two of you.
We both believe we're telling the truth.
Yeah, and even though I know that you're a figment of our collective imaginations, I figured that you were such a powerful wizard anyway, that even though you're not real, you still might be able to help us out.
I feel attacked, and I'm not sure if that is...
Do you think you could examine my friend here?
What book were you...
I show him the book because I still have it with me.
Huh.
Soul Eater, generating a pocket dimension.
I will give it props for being creative on its approach.
It almost got math.
Oh.
It did get somebody else, though, as well. But it almost got math.
This would explain the few disappearances we've had. And would also explain why a few of our scholars are unable to summon their familiars anymore.
This is tying it up neatly, isn't it?
That's what we were asked to investigate, sir.
Right.
Given that we were in the area at the time.
And your... companion is still insistent that you are inside of this.
She is.
Whereas he's insistent that we're back out in the real.
Does not having the physical book in front of you...
No, because I believe...
This is the sequel. It's learned from the other book, which was kind of... I'm not going to lie, it was kind of chaotic. There was a lot of things going on that didn't really make any sense, and it didn't really know how to build a castle. So it's made a sequel, and the sequel is a lot better. It's a lot more realistic.
Amadeus has the expression of, and this is what I have to deal with on the regular basis.
Right.
And he's just like...
So I was wondering if you could just kind of, you know, bring Amadeus back to us so that we can solve this book, get us out of here, and then when we see you in the real world, we'll say thanks, and you might know what's going on, you might not, but...
looks between the two of you and looks over to Magnus to see if he gives a confirmation, and Magnus doesn't.
I don't really know how that kind of, like, you know, arcane magic works, but I assume that you've got some sort of, I don't know, brain scan.
Hmm. The chains on his arms begin to glow. Well, this will be all of my magic for the week, but...
My apologies, sir.
It's fine. It's worth it. And he points a finger at Tanwyn.
No, wait.
And more or less finger guns her as he casts Greater Restoration on her.
I'm not the one who... Oh my god! Oh, that was really scary, even though it didn't hurt.
Hello, Tanwyn.
No, hold on, give me a second. He, like, flashbanged me. Really bright light. Oh.
And you no longer have that long-term madness. You are fully cognizant that you are no longer in a book.
Are we still in a book, Tanwyn? Do I need to worry?
You need to worry about being written up for talking about dwellers.
I didn't talk about dwellers.
He did not. And you did it, and you did it to Wilhelm, too. And I know that he's good with it. But you got a big mouth.
Yes, I was one of the people that helped create the veil.
I know that. And it's fine to talk to you about it. But it's also just, you know, the employees at the Memoria Sanctorum, stuff like that. I'm not trying to, you know.
I didn't think that...
I know, it's okay.
I'm glad to have you back, Tanwyn. Because I was going to wonder how long that was going to last.
Good to be back. That was weird, right? That was strange.
It was.
Next, you'll be telling me that one of the moons is in fact an eye and will be watched by some... You lotter a lot.
Okay, so I think that one might actually be true, but...
yes, we are.
We'll come back to you on that one.
I'm sorry.
We've had some visions. Don't worry about it.
Right.
I'm sure Artifor will contact you when it's time.
Anyway, we're going to go take
that
this...
That is a concerning sentence that I will not dive into deeper.
Yes, that is a frequent response to a lot of what we say.
Good.
We are, unfortunately, individually and collectively, a very weird trio.
Yes.
I believe we've taken up too much of your time, sir, and thank you for listening to us, and I'm sorry about all of the book stuff. We should...
No, you're fine. I'm glad that you came to me. It was clever of you to have come to me to potentially deal with this.
I'm always right, and I've never been wrong.
I doubt that is true. May I look at that?
The hand will offer him the book.
Right, well, I may not have a lot of magic left in me, but Identify, thankfully, is cheap.
Legend lore.
Oh, you can do that, can you?
Once a day, thanks to the idiot that gave me my original book.
Well, isn't that convenient?
So, yes, Legend Lore.
Would you like to hang out with us while we do it?
Yeah, you cast Legend Lore, and this book, The Tiger Shark Show, is an extremely poorly written novel.
Oh, boy.
Not only is it poorly written, filled with plot holes and inconsistencies and tone and tense, and it is the author's first work. It was supposed to be destroyed. If the author found out that not only was it destroyed, but is in fact in the Memoria Sanctorum, where presumably there are more than one copy of it now, because there's more than one copy of every written text in the Memoria Sanctorum, they might try to burn down the entire Sanctorum.
Does this have beloved characters, Lord Sinister?
Lord Sinister is the villain of the...
Oh, I miss him! And the Lady Fashar, is she in it too?
No.
Oh, dear. It's her a lot.
No, it is... Think of it as one of those dog show films.
Yes! Oh, Tanwyn is all over this.
It is one of those dog show films where there's effectively this newbie trainer comes in and sweeps the competition. If you were to read it, makes no sense because it's just, how are they so good at this off the job? It is the most Mary Sue-ass story.
Oh, Tanwyn.
Which is weird that it is based around a show with tiger sharks.
Tanwyn is loving this. She's into it. She's, can I take this? Are we allowed to take books out of the Memoria Sink? I'd really love to
this might be
about
the, this is the store. This is the storage copy.
Aye.
But I am sure there is at least one copy in the lending library that you can take out.
There's more information to come. About a year ago, a soul eater found this more or less abandoned book and used it as its... It did not realize that the book it had chosen was so poorly written that nobody would want to read it. Because its idea was, I will pick a book and dwell in it, and as people are reading the book, just siphon their energy off and
everything.
But no, it picked almost quite literally the worst book ever.
Which is why it was taking people wholesale instead of piecemeal.
Yes, and was trying to piece together a better story, except it had no concept of story writing.
So it was just grabbing piecemeal from everybody it sucked in to fill in the gaps and write a better story.
Yes. Yeah, that's effectively what it tried to do. And some of that is left behind. The book itself is now magic.
Ooh.
Okay.
And once, and I do mean once, a person can use the book to generate a plot hole. Changing things in a way. Basically, it's a, this is how things are now.
I'm going to need to put that back in storage.
Even when it shouldn't.
Yeah, no, I'm going to need to put that copy back in storage.
You have to stop trying to give away the powerful magical items that we are allowed to keep. Because it's loot as part of the Dernia. This is not storage anymore. This is Dernia property.
Wilhelm, I would agree on that. You should, as much as we keep several magic items, an item like this would definitely be best kept with...
Fine.
This is during your property now. It's been touched by the beyond.
Okay. And it gives you a chance to eat it on the way home.
Exactly. I can't wait to find out more about my good friend Lord Sinister.
Excellent. Well, first of all, before we head anywhere,
Hold on. Didn't we come here for something?
Yes, we dropped off some stuff. I was going to do some research, and we got Wayways doing the job looking into why people were disappearing.
We should still be doing that.
Yes.
Troll research, though.
Yes.
Yes, history and archaeology are on that currently. We will send word once they've found out all that they can.
I apologize. I may have excited archaeology.
Honestly, they haven't had a lot to do lately, so I am more than happy for them to be putting their energy into something rather than trying to build whatever it is that they were trying to build.
And even better news, they're going to be excited somewhere else.
They love to dig holes. That's something I came here as.
Diggy-diggy hole.
I sincerely hope that they do not interrupt anybody's livelihood.
I'm sure Captain LaCroix of the local guards will ensure that they don't interrupt much.
Good luck to him.
We did warn him that archaeologists and the like would be visiting.
And 3-1 is pretty much all you can do.
Yeah.
Is there
anything else that we were meant to be doing?
Well, I'm going to go make sure we get paid for solving the problem.
Oh, true.
And then we might want to visit the capital, because after we get paid, at least either myself or Magnus will have enough money to perhaps purchase something that might be of interest to Tanwyn.
Oh.
It's a little item that the captain had, a bag of holding.
Oh!
You can buy one here.
How much?
Last I checked, about 1,000 gold.
We might have enough of it.
Whoa!
Yeah, we recently had a craftsman move into the Sanctorum.
Excellent. Well, even more reason for us to go back inside him. So, let's go get paid, and then we can go talk to this craftsman. So, thank you for your time, sir.
Who gave you this job? It was the heads of history and archaeology.
History and archaeology, they had a couple of...
I think it was familiars go missing.
Familiars, right? And a couple of researchers had disappeared.
Right. I will save you the trouble, and I will pay you because I pay them, and it will just save some time.
That sounds excellent, sir.
You seem like you really want to get away from him. Is he scaring you?
He's my old boss, and he's scarily powerful. Why would I not be afraid of him?
He seems like a cool dude.
Thank you.
He's also got really good hearing, because I thought I was whispering quite good.
You whisper really loudly.
You really do. Anyway.
I'm learning new things about myself every day.
I wouldn't be surprised if you think loudly. I'm not a telepath, and I don't want to find out.
I have been told by people who have used comprehend minds and stuff that it is crowded in there.
That doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Anyway,
right, considering that you were dealing with a soul eater, and if left unchecked, it probably would have eaten several more people.
Probably.
He's leading you off to his private chambers, which is pretty close to the stables, other than his evening routine of going through the grounds and picking up all the garbage that's in there. The stables is where he spends most of his time. He's like, considering everything... Math. Both the boon and bane of mages everywhere.
That's why I like being a warlock. Less math involved.
Yes, you get to cheat.
I really wish I didn't. I don't have to think about spells at all. I just have to think about how cool Artifora is.
She's worse.
And then there's bards, but we don't talk about those idiots.
Don't talk about bards. Right. Well, considering that you risked life and limb for sorting out this problem that you had no reason to...
Hey, it's our job.
Yes, and that's why you're getting paid for it.
Fantastic. I love to hear it.
Let's call it a even 250 each.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Gold?
Yes.
Oh!
He opens up the chest. Right, I have nothing but platinum. And pays you guys 25 platinum each.
Wow! I've never even seen a platinum piece before.
They think it's funny to keep sending me naught but platinum, and I have to go to the vendors to break it down into gold to be actually of use.
Oh, speaking of vendors, did I really give that apple seller a gold for
Christmas? Yeah, you did.
Oh!
Well, I'm sure you made his day.
Probably made his month, too. Anyway.
Honestly, it will not be the first nor the last time that somebody does that.
Makes me feel a little bit better.
No. Mages can get a bit out of touch on the price of things.
I'm not out of touch.
It's when you're spending as much money as they do on components and scribing and everything. Oh. It's just like, yes, everything costs gold. Even the most cheap and mundane thing. It's at least a gold, right? This loaf of bread is a gold.
Yeah.
It's a banana, Michael. How much could it cost? $5?
Trust me, given that I got most of my expenses paid for while I lived here. When I started working for the Dernia and paying for things, the disconnect is real.
You had a real cushy good care. I can see why you didn't like leaving it.
Yeah, there is also a reason why there is a lot of vendors here, because of just tired, brain-addled archivists and mages that are out of touch with reality, just throwing far too much money at them for things that should not cost that much.
I wish I knew about this place back when I was a blacksmith. I could have just made a bunch of shovels and stuff and come over here and said, the special shovels for doing archaeology with.
Oh, they would have loved that.
Oh.
They definitely would have paid.
Oh, another life. Another life.
You would have made a killing.
I would have made a killing.
They definitely would have paid like 10 gold a shovel.
No, don't tell me that. Now I wish I was doing that instead of being part of the Dernia.
Anyway, let's go spend that newly earned money, Tanwyn.
Oh, I love to spend the money.
Yeah, the craftsman, where'd she set up? I believe she set up a stall called Weaving the Weave, I believe is what she called it.
Weaving to Weave.
Weaving the Weave.
You've never commented on my accent before, and I would thank you not to start now.
My apologies.
Unfortunately, that is all the time that we have at the moment. There is more to this story that will be shared when next we meet.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.